I'm going to open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to humbly speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ about what I have been learning in regards to the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. I ask that each of us hear only your voice and words of truth in this message. I praise you for spiritual gifts of healing and the guidance to use these gifts for anyone who asks. Amen. So God has placed upon my heart a desire to heal people. At the time, it's been a while, I did not realize that it is a spiritual gift. Many resources have come my way to help me on this journey, and one is called Seedbed, and there's a website, seedbed.com, which was recommended by a Christian friend. Long story short, this Seedbed offered a 6-week course on healing prayer ministry, which started this year in September and October. It was online using Zoom, which thankfully through our church, I'd had a lot of experience with. Today, I am sharing just a small portion of the 12 hours of information. If you feel led by God to learn more, I am very willing to share the information I have. I have the recordings of the messages as well as some handouts. I know this means getting out of our comfort zone. Today is a huge example of that for me. And I never would have thought I'd be doing something like this, but we know God did. So if anyone's interested, please just contact me, but pray on it. You may have had a nagging also from God about this. Even if you're still not sure, but you're thinking, you might just let me know. So let's get started. Some background on John Wimber. I watched a couple of YouTube videos on him, and his name is spelled W-I-M-B-E-R, John Wimber. He has been doing healing prayer for years. I'm not sure it's possible he's even gone to be with the Lord at this point in time. I didn't check on that. He started out with many, many setbacks and very frustrated with the healing ministry. But he did it out of obedience to God. What I'm going to share with you came out of the lessons he learned. So, Pastor Mike, if you could put up Matthew 9, 35 through 10:1. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Jesus's ministry continues in the world through his body, the church. He is the leader and we follow him. So healing prayer is essentially about our joining Jesus in his ministry, not him so much helping us with ours, which definitely takes the pressure off. We connect with the love and compassion of Jesus. Healing prayer flows out of Jesus's love and compassion. It's shaped by it. We show love and compassion to the person we are praying for, preserving their dignity and never forcing them to do anything they are uncomfortable with. And also remember what we just read above, this Matthew 9, 35, 10 through 1, he called his 12 disciples to him. Remember, Judas was one of his 12 disciples. That just goes to show the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. Also, we connect with the presence of Jesus. Our risen, ascended Lord is always with us. Pastor, if you could put up Matthew 28, 20. as it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In Matthew 18:20, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So we expect Jesus to show up, and we talk to Jesus and ask him to lead us and guide us as we pray for this person. John 20:20. We connect with the wounds of Jesus. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When we bring our wounds, our hurts, our sorrows, and allow Jesus to carry it in his broken body, this allows Jesus to touch our wounds. There is healing power in the cross of Christ. We need to remove barriers. We can't be healed with the following in our way: denial, unforgiveness, a hardened heart, fears, and some people become comfortable with their wounds. They like being a victim. That may seem harsh, but you probably know or knew a person like that. With my job, I have met people that are very comfortable with their chronic illness, and they, quite frankly, don't want anyone to help them. They don't seek help. They don't want it. The authority of Jesus, Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus gives us authority to heal, so we need to pray boldly and confidently. To do this, we need to abide in Jesus. All the above I've just talked about, the compassion, presence of Christ, his power and authority, are rooted in intimacy with him. Ways of abiding to deepen our relationship are prayer, searching, scripture, communion, and fasting. And this is the foundation of this ministry. We have to practice and become people of prayer. So part of that is a 5-step prayer model, which was developed by John Wimber, and he happens to be the founder of the Vineyard Church. While physical healing is often the focus of prayer ministry, in its essence, the 5-step prayer model is a relational, interactive way to pray for others as we listen to the Holy Spirit, a process that begins and ends with mercy towards the person requesting prayer, and that seeks both God's will and God's best for the person being prayed for. It is also relational in the sense that we are leaning heavily on our intimate relationship with God as we pray for someone, welcoming him to speak insights into our hearts or minds that would directly impact the person being prayed for. The basis for the approach of the 5-step prayer model is the model of Jesus as he ministered to the sick. It also draws on Wimber's experience as he witnessed to thousands of people encounter God's love through signs, wonders, and dramatic healings. So step one, the interview. Introduce yourself and ask, how can I pray for you, or where does it hurt? This is not a medical interview, but rather an opportunity to listen as we assess the person's situation and need. This step ensures that the person feels valued and gives us an opportunity to listen to God and the individual before any prayer begins. According to Wimber, we are listening to the person on two levels at this point. On a natural level, we are hearing the request. On a supernatural level, we are listening simultaneously for God to speak to us about the person and or situation. The Holy Spirit may begin to give you pictures, scriptures, or other insights. One of the speakers, Bud Simon, gave an example of this. A man came to church asking for prayer for his family, even though physically he was dealing with knee pain. As they prayed for the man's family, he started to have sharp knee pain, but they didn't stop praying for his family. Then the man's knee pain went away. It didn't make sense, but that's because it was supernatural, and they listened to the direction of the Holy Spirit. We want people to feel the love and compassion of Christ. We take our time, our quiet, and listen. Our dependency is on God to make something happen, not ourselves. Even if the person is not healed, they may express feeling warm, loved, and cared for. Remember, God may want to touch something in the person's life other than the illness or topic of prayer request. Be open to the Spirit's guidance. If you have no clue what to pray after the interview, then be honest. Don't fake it or put on a spiritual persona. Maintain your integrity, and if necessary, just pray for God to bless the person. Step two, the diagnosis. Now we can begin to identify the underlying issue we sense God is inviting us to pray for. If the request is for physical healing, there may be a variety of reasons the person has a condition. It could be a disease, or the person had an accident. It could be sin, either the person has committed a sin or someone has sinned against them. It could be emotional hurts, which can trigger physical symptoms, or it could be due to relationship problems, such as an issue of unforgiveness or anger. Or it could be demonic influence, which has to do with spiritual powers afflicting a person. Sometimes you may discern it is a combination of a few of these causes above, which is why we must depend on the Spirit. We don't want to be praying about one area for a person when the real issue is coming from something else. Ask the Holy Spirit to confirm if the person's analysis of the situation is accurate, or if there is something else he wants to reveal. People are complex, and issues affecting their condition can be just as complex. A marriage may be in pain because of a childhood hurt. Bodies can be afflicted by psychosomatic illness, which is no less real in its impact than a disease. Holding resentment or bitterness towards another, whether living or dead, can cause distress that impacts a person emotionally and or physically. Step number three, prayer selection. We want to agree with God in our prayers. Rather than expect God to agree with us on what we want to see happen. Having said this, we confidently pray for healing with 1 John 5:14-15 in mind. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what is we asked of him. If we pray too generally, as if God probably doesn't want to do anything, or we don't want to look foolish, then we probably won't see much happen. However, if we pray with confidence and humility, led by the inner prompting of the Spirit, we are praying with the kind of confidence Jesus spoke of in Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Wimber suggested that there are two categories into which healing prayers fall: prayers directed toward God, words received from God. In prayers directed to God, we are asking Him how we should intercede for a sick person or a person requesting prayer. We are in a listening posture. Prayers of intercession, in which we ask God to touch a person and the condition, may be the way the Spirit is inviting us to pray. Ask God for wisdom and believe you'll receive it. Leaning on the Holy Spirit, decide how you will pray and move toward prayer engagement. Step 4 is prayer engagement. This step consists of us moving into prayer, laying our hands on the person, and asking further interview questions as necessary. Having decided how we will pray, we move forward, trusting we are sensing what the Father is doing in this person's life. As was noted in the previous step, we lay hands on the person if permission given. If there is a physical spot on the person's body that needs healing, we ask if we can lay hands on that part of the body. Luke 4:40. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. In some cases, it may seem best to extend one's hands toward the person rather than touching, especially if someone else is already laying hands on the person. As we begin, we may want to continually pray a prayer that has become vital in our vineyard story. Come, Holy Spirit. This prayer is a simple invitation for the Spirit to do the work that only God can do. People may respond to the presence of the Spirit in various ways. They may remain quiet and still as we pray. They may experience warmth or tingling in an area of the body as prayer continues. As prayer is a power encounter between the overwhelming love of God and the enemy of our souls, there may be other manifestations such as trembling, shaking, weeping, laughing, or even falling over. When people experience the peace and joy of God breaking into their dire situation, there may be physical expressions that accompany the experience. Phenomena like these have occurred in revivals throughout church history and may be one indicator that God's presence is being felt by the person. Continuing to listen to the Spirit as we pray, we ask God to pour more of His love into the person. We listen for revelation from God, and we follow these threads in our prayers. In the vineyard, we often pray with our eyes open during personal ministry times. This is because we've become aware that some indications of effectiveness can be seen as we pray, while others cannot. When we sense we are finished praying, the person feels we are finished, or we have nothing left to pray, we let the person know we are finishing the prayer. Last step, step 5, post-prayer direction. If the prayer focuses on physical healing, the results of healing prayer can be many. Offering some simple next step direction may be helpful. If the person was healed or had significant breakthrough in some area, encourage him or her to continue to walk closely with God, maintaining a rich life of worship. Bible reading, church connection, and avoidance of sin. You can also encourage the person to get the healing confirmed by a medical professional. If a person was not healed or did not have a significant breakthrough in their area of need, reassure them that God loves them and encourage them to seek more prayer. For healing of the heart, mind, and body to be sustained, even after a moment of divine intervention, environments of committed Christian discipleship, accountability, and spiritual formation are necessary for ongoing growth. If words or scriptures were received that were meaningful, encourage the person to write them down or record them so that they can be referred to later. God's intent in generously giving signs, wonders, miracles of healing, words of encouragement, words of knowledge, prophetic insights, and other gifts of love in times of prayer is that we would be drawn to love him more, serving him through a life of complete devotion. Anything we can do to encourage someone to live out the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength is appropriate. And that's Mark 12:30. So that was just a taste of what I learned. And I just really appreciated the fact that it was, they acknowledge it's Jesus' Christ ministry. It is not a human being that is actually doing the healing. And there was a lot of scripture to back up what they were talking about. And it's all based on love. We are to love God, as we just mentioned, but also to love others. And it's interesting to me, again, that the healing is actually a gift. It's a spiritual gift. And it says spiritual gifts of healing in the Bible. And I know Fern shared with us, I think it was a few weeks ago, about her healing when she asked God. And I didn't know if anybody had a story of their of a healing that they themselves had, or that God, that maybe you knew God did for someone else that you wanted to share. And just remember, you're muted. I see you talking, Linda.
Yes, I've been healed by God. I about 4 or 5 years ago, I had sarcoidosis because I had melanoma skin cancer. And I went to a church in Redding, California, and the pastor was talking, and he said, he stopped talking, he looked at the audience, he said, has anybody got lung problems? Please stand. And I stood up immediately, along with 4 or 5 other people. And he prayed for us. And while he was praying, I just felt God saying, take this, Linda, take it. So I said, Lord, this is my healing, this is my healing. And I took it, I accepted it. And when I got back from California, I went to the doctors. I told them what happened. I felt the warmth in my lung area. And I said, I'd like to know if I could have an x-ray to make sure it's true. I did cough for 2 or 3 more days after the healing, but I haven't coughed in 4 years. And I am, there's not a sign of sarcoidosis in my body anywhere.
Oof,
God does heal.
He does heal.
Right.
What a great example. Thank you, Linda.
Welcome.
Anybody else?
I'll just say, like, for me, I remember working for my brother-in-law one time, and he won this award, and so he had to go out to California for a week. Well, I was working for him, but wasn't just work, it was working on a 70-cow dairy, so, double the workload, and just being the hired hand, and then being the person that's got to manage everything, it was just overwhelming. I remember, like, I was on, I don't know, I forgot it was, like, day 4 or something, I was just exhausted, and I was ready to just, I'm done, just quit stuff, and then the Lord just, I felt, like, this peace just come over me, and, it's not a, maybe like a physical healing and stuff, but you talk about that emotional or situational stuff. And he gave me the strength just to keep on going. And I'll never forget that. That was not my own strength from going on. That was his. And it was, that always meant a lot to me.
Great. Praise God. Anyone else?
Okay. Years ago, I had received healing on migraines. I used to have very bad migraines. I would even pass out with them. And the Lord healed me of the migraines, which I'm so thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. I had a miraculous healing happen. I was at a church camp. I always wanted to be a camp counselor, and I had the opportunity to do it for a week with three. At my charge were three little nine-year-old girls. Oh my goodness, they were amazing. And there were lots of children, and every day we ran around and played and just had lots of fun. But early on, I did something, and I hurt my knee. I tried to stand, and I couldn't even stand up. And for some reason, I don't remember the circumstance. I just remember being alone for a minute. I was sitting on the ground, rubbing my knee, and I just remember praying to God and saying, please heal me so I can continue to help these children, because me sitting around and whining about my leg is not going to be helpful for anyone. And I just knew he did it. I felt like that guy in the mat when the friends lowered the guy in the mat and he just jumped up when God healed him. And so I just felt the healing as well. And I was able to get up and run around. And I never forgot that, because never had I experienced where I've hurt myself and just felt better afterwards that quickly. So I just knew at that point it was from God. And being a kind of new born again Christian, I was just so thankful to God. But also being sensitive that, God still loves us even if he doesn't heal us. And I've also had those experiences as well. And I know there's many in our congregation struggling. And I just know that God loves you. And this is certainly, it's not punishment or, we worry about sometimes that it's something that we're not doing. But God is mysterious, and his timing, his will, and his way. So I'd like to close this in prayer, if there's no one else that has any comments. God Almighty, you are the great physician who is willing to heal our souls, bodies, and minds. We are not to lean on our own understanding of the how and why, especially if we are not healed the way we want or as quickly. But to give thanks to you in whatever circumstance we are in, trusting you in our suffering. We thank you for using man in your healing ministry. And I think today about our medical staff who are overwhelmed by the pandemic around the world. Please keep them safe from illness and fatigue. Build them up and give them hope in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.